Turn to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 1. Last week we started, was going to look at 1 Corinthians, first, maybe 2 Corinthians too, probably. But I'll quickly hit some of the things we talked about last week real quick, not spend a lot of time on it. But in our introduction to Corinthians, Paul writes Corinthians from Ephesus on his third missionary journey, and he writes, it's carnal. The church is very carnal. And as you have chapter 1, they had perverted the doctrine of baptism. In chapter 2, they're bragging about human wisdom. In chapter 3, he says they're carnal. In 3:18, they deceived themselves. Remember, we talked about the lesson here a few weeks ago. Let be not deceived. Let no man deceive you, and don't deceive yourselves. All right? And they defiled their bodies. That was in chapter 3 and 4. In chapter 4, they're puffed up. In chapter 5 is immorality. Chapter 6, they're suing each other. In chapter 7, they're confused about marriage. In chapter 8, confused on Christian liberties. Chapter 11, dress in the house of God and the Lord's Supper, misuse of the Lord's Supper. Chapter 14, the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 15, they're confused on the resurrection. And chapter 16, they're corrected on their offerings. That church is in pretty dire shape, isn't it? And you know what? We have so many religions today, I'll call them religions, not churches, but who are basing their doctrine mostly on 1 Corinthians, the carnalest church that there is. You go to talking to them, and where do they end up? They'll head right back to either Acts, which is a transitional book, or they'll head to 1 Corinthians and take some of this stuff there and justify some of their doctrines. Now, as I was mentioning before, I read a book. We were talking down here a while ago about James Knox. I read a book that he wrote on law and grace, and on law, and he talks quite a bit in that book about Acts being a transitional book and where you're transitioning, you know, from law to grace and from the Jew to the Gentile. And you can get very confused in the book of Acts and building your doctrine. As I said last week, and about Acts 2:38. And the baptism, we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go through 1 Corinthians and we go to looking at baptism. And the different, when John came baptizing, that their sins made, that for the remission of sins. Question, were the people's sins were forgiven in the Old Testament, but not remitted, correct? So the baptism was for the remission of sins. Think about it. And that's why he came baptizing. And they're still doing it in the early part of Acts. And it says in Acts, well, I'll jump on in that a little later as we get to it. But first verse is Paul called to be an apostle. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. Now, Sosthenes is probably the Jewish leader in the synagogue that was beaten. You remember, he more or less ratted Paul out. And then he's the one that ends up getting the beating. They seized him, but he ends up being converted. So it's widely believed that he's that person there. And then I brought emphasis last week on the called to be. And to be is in italics there. And you'll notice anything that the King James Bible puts in there to be clear or to make the scripture clear is in italics. And I believe that's just as much God there as anything. Okay? And it makes it a whole lot clearer. Paul called to be an apostle. Not called an apostle, but called to be. And now, same thing is down in verse 8. Then look at verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And right there you have in italics, again, to be. Called to be saints. Not called saints, but called to be a saint. That's clear. Clear as it can be. And then you see here in verse 2 that it's to all of us. And verse 3, let me read verse 2 again. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. That's to every one of us, this book is. Us, every one of us, Gentiles. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls this here the church of God. And we'll see as we get on into the Corinthians, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And there's one Lord. And you'll see ultra-dispensationalist. And I consider myself a dispensationalist. If you don't rightly divide this Bible, you're going to be in a mess. But you can go overboard, as I said last week, and you can go overboard in it. I've seen it over the years. You've seen it even in this church. People will keep cutting that Bible and cutting that Bible, and they come to that crossroads, and where do they run off? Back under law? Or over here into Calvinism? Check it out. You can think in your mind right now of people who have done that. I know you can. And you've got to rightly divide the book. And let God be the true and every man a liar. That's simple. That's scripture. That sounds so crude. To let every man be a liar. But that's the way you have to do. Keep the Bible. So you've got the church of God. And Paul said he persecuted the church of God. I mean, look, read some scripture. We're going to take our time as we go through this book and look at several. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Let's read what I was saying just a while ago. People will run across these verses, and some of these verses will give people a problem. So what do? They want to say and teach. An ultra-dispensationalist likes to teach that Paul started the church. Really, seriously. But when they run into this, 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. How much clearer could you get? They talk about a Gentile church, and they talk about a Jewish church, and then you had Paul and that Gentile church, and he started what's the Gentile. That ain't what this Bible says, folks. And when you set your own doctrine, you're going to run into problems with scriptures like this. It said, for by one Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit, capital S, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's the big S. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Church of God. As I said last week, and don't get upset with me. I love Christian people. I don't care where they're at. But when you hear this Christ, 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 Christ. You ever talk to anybody like that? Oh, Christ. And then when you check his doctrine out, he believes in salvation through baptism. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his proper name, folks. And you'll see in these first 8 verses here, how many times is it? I read it last week. I won't go back through them again. Jesus Christ, Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. All through in here. That's His proper name, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His deity. He's the Lord and He's Christ. He's God's Christ. The Lord's Christ. In Luke chapter 2, He's the Lord's Christ. He's God's Savior for this world, and He's God's King for this world. Okay? So you have Galatians 1:13. Let's look at it. We're going to... I'll try to keep my train of thought and not be so confusing. I know I was last week. I hate that. I was. Galatians 1:13. Try to stay on each thought. For ye have heard of my conversation, my lifestyle. That's what he's talking about. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now we just seen there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. True? There's not two churches. I don't think that. And people argue you're blind on that. No. That's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And he persecuted the church of God. What was he persecuting something if he started it? Right? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bought the church with his blood as his bride. Amen? A gift from the Father. Now, let's look at Romans 16. Kind of still talking about this right here. Romans 16. Verse 7. He's doing his salutations to the people that's here in Romans. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Amen. So there's not two churches in Christ. Sometimes you say, well, I don't believe it that way. Well, a lot of people don't. But they've cut their Bible, so they've cut it and dispensated it to where they've done away with baptism. And we'll see this in 1 Corinthians. They've done away with baptism even. Now, baptism doesn't save us, and baptism is not the power of God. If something is of necessity to be saved, then it would be the power of God along with the blood, right? Come on. Is that not right? If it was required, if it had to be. Baptism is not the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Jesus is the power of God. We'll look at this as we get to it here in a little bit. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God. That's what it says right here in Corinthians. Paul's teaching these people that and straightening them out on their doctrine in 1 Corinthians. But there's people right now who believe that baptism is no effect. We'll look at that in a minute, where Paul said, I'm glad I baptized none of you. But he did baptize. And go to Acts, in Acts 16, where the Philippian jailer and all his house was baptized. He was just making it clear that somebody was choosing sides. And that baptism was not of him or Apollos or of Christ. All right, and we'll look at that as we go to it here in a minute. But we see in Romans 16, and we see in Galatians, and we see in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul persecuted the church of God. We see one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And by one Spirit are we all baptized, right? How many is all? 11? You've heard that out of 1,100 times. All is all, isn't it? Huh? That's everyone. That's all. That's the complete body right there. Okay, I hope that's clear. Back to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to try to follow my notes. I can make some pretty good notes if I just follow them. In verse 4, all right, let me read 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. All grace comes from God. There is grace in every dispensation. Now listen to me carefully. Grace in a dispensation is not the same as the dispensation of grace. God showed grace in every dispensation. He did. Man, if God would save a man, that's grace, isn't it? He showed mercy. But there's a dispensation of grace from faith to faith. And we'll talk about that later. From man's faith to the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, I love that. And we could spend so much time right there. And we'll hit this verse here in a minute. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Only way we can have peace with God is propitiation. There had to be a payment accepted. There had to be redemption. Redemption is the payment. Propitiation is the payment accepted. The payment had to be accepted by God for a man to be saved. And he would not accept anything, according to Romans chapter 3, but his own blood. And that's grace in a dispensation when his blood had been shed. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Ephesians to the church. Heavenly places, heavenly things in Christ Jesus. The first two or three chapters in Ephesians. All the blessings that we have are in Jesus Christ. That's how you can be saved eternally, securely, is in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Folks, I think it's so simple. Maybe I'm too simple. But I think it's so simple when you read this Bible to see that. If I have to keep it, if I have to even live it. Those are hard words to say because people will misunderstand them. Then it's of works. And it's not of works. Verse 5. 4 and 5. Watch this. That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, and in all knowledge. You've got a church that was so carnal. And we listed these chapters here and the things he's addressing in every chapter in 1 Corinthians. We just listed those. But looky here. That in everything ye are enriched by him. They were enriched by him. Saved. In all utterance. In their speech. And in all knowledge. They had knowledge. And they had a testimony. Even as the testimony, watch this word confirmed, you'll see it in a minute in verse 8. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Confirmed is to make absolutely sure of something. They were sure in their salvation, but look how carnal they were. If sin would send a saved man to hell, man, they're gone, wasn't they? That's what he'd have told them there. That's what he would have told them. All right? Verse 6, they're saved. Even the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. They had the gifts. 18 of them will be listed in this study. They had the gifts so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They come behind in no gift and waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to cover verse 8 today, but we got to stop right here a while, at least 5 minutes. So that you come behind him. No, they were not waiting for the tribulation. Paul has to straighten a group of people out over in 1 and 2 Thessalonians who thinks they've missed the rapture. And he goes into, clearly, the rapture. And Hymenaeus, wasn't that one of them, who was preaching his resurrection's past? You missed it. And it troubles some people. They were people perverting the Word of God. And Paul covers it. Now, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1. This is what they're waiting for. They're not waiting for the tribulation. 1:9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You see what Paul's teachings is? And what he's teaching in Corinthians, what he's teaching in 1 Thessalonians, and he'll go on in 1 and 2 Thessalonians and teach the rapture clearly. But he says here in 10, and to wait for his Son. Now, if you want to look at verse 3, look over there. I've got lines drawn in my Bible from verse 3 over to 9 and 10. And he's saying, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. What was their work of faith? He tells you right over here that they turned from idols. That was their work of faith and labor of love. And they serve the living God, it says over in 9. And hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, they're waiting for his Son. So that's what they're waiting on. And then look at it, but the verse I wanted us to look at is verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We're not going through the tribulation. We're going out of here. And you say, well, why don't people know that? Why? You know why. It's a mystery. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. God will reveal a mystery to his children that he won't reveal to other people. We'll see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now look at 1 Thessalonians 5:9. And here he's talking about the people who are asleep spiritually, and sleep dead. He covers that, folks, right in this chapter. I'm not going to read all of it. You can read it yourself. He's talking about people who are dead and a Christian even who's asleep. God's going to deliver all of them that's asleep. A saved man's a saved man. Amen? For God hath not appointed us, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. You see, there were some people teaching that they had missed the rapture, they had missed the resurrection, and they were going into the tribulation. Now, it's easy to, hey, if we were living in that day, there's some people in this world today who are living in that time. There's some people up on a mountain, wasn't there? Dying for Christ, dying for the name of the Lord, as I said just a few weeks ago. How much light we've got, and they don't even, I noticed as people talked to them and interviewed them, the only thing they knew was the name of God. Jesus Lord. They were not enlightened on this Bible as we are, but they were dying for that name. Today it's happening all over this world. And there in Thessalonica, those people with the persecution on the church, the way the persecution was on the church, these people thought they were in the tribulation period. I honestly believe that. Hey, when you see people's heads rolling, we're sitting in here this morning. We don't have armed guards outside this door for us to worship. There's people that do in this world today. They do. These people, you could see why they would believe that, right? But Paul straightened them out on his doctrine, and he said, they have not been appointed to wrath. We're going to miss it. And he tells them in Thessalonians how they're going to miss it, and that's the rapture. God's going to take them out. And how do you know? There's three reasons, and I know that. And one of them is the principle of it. He always delivered, didn't he, his children? Did he not? He delivered Lot, Abraham, Joseph. He always delivers his children. There's a principle of it. We'll talk about that later. So, let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2:1. And then we'll move on. But I want us to cover these scriptures as we go through them. I want to cover some points on what some other people think and believe. Now, right here in verse 1, this is not one thing he's talking about, okay? It's two things. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. See how he's teaching them, even in 2 Thessalonians? But watch this in verse 1. Only a comma separates these. And they're listed backwards. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. You say, well, why are they listed twice? Go to Psalms 89. I'm not going to go. We could go read the whole Psalm. And in Psalms 89, you'll see the listing backwards of the king. And I think it's in 18 or something through 37, you see the kingdom. And then from 37 through 45, you see the suffering. Well, the suffering before the king. Why? God does things to confuse people as well as enlighten people. Now, that sounds weird, but it's the truth. As you look in the beautiful messages we heard from James Knox, wasn't they? They were great. The best one, though, to me, was the vine, the bough by a whale that extended over the wall. That was a good message. But then when he talked about the people, the men on the road to Emmaus, but there was one scripture, his message there in that one was a spiritual message. But when you see, when you come to their eyes, I'll just say the verse, their eyes were beholding that they should not know him. Who closed their eyes that they should not know him? God did, for a reason. He came to die. Look at the parables in Matthew. He said he gave the comparables to they even confuse some of them more. Hey, there's a rapture coming. It's a mystery, brother. And you know what? In that church in the tribulation period, when they look back on it, it won't be a mystery anymore. They don't believe in it now. But it won't be a mystery then. They'll know where all them people went. Amen? God doesn't do things like us. His ways are higher than our ways. Only a comma separates those two things there. But that's what they're waiting for. They're not waiting for the tribulation. They're not waiting for it. They're waiting for the rapture. How much do we think about that? How much do we think that God is going to take us out of here? Are you holding on to anything? Is there anything you want to take with you? Think on that. I watch this evil that's going on in this world today. Those men running around in black, dark, they're of the night. This Bible's as true as it can be. And killing people for Ishmael. And what did God say about Ishmael? They think they're going to tame him? Come on. You ain't going to contain him nor tame him. You can try to educate him. It ain't going to work. God said his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. They just some honest ones that are killing people. They're telling what the religion actually is and what they actually believe, and they're not hiding it. That's what the Quran teaches. That's what it teaches. And that law in France right now, no-go communities. Ishmael is who it is. ISIS. Come on, you better wake up. The rapture is coming. We're not waiting for the tribulation. We're not appointed to wrath. We're appointed to salvation, deliverance. And you know what that is? That's what I'm hoping for. It's when we get that glorified body. As I looked at that this week and looked at the news, I tried to relate it to the Bible and say, look at it as to what it is. Man, when you do, you'll see it just as clear as day. As Ishmael. And God said he'd make a great nation out of him, did he not? Did he not? Did he not say his hand would be against every man and every man's hand against him? He will unite those people. Why? Because he's the son of the devil through Abraham. It's true. God didn't bring the handmaiden to Abraham. Sarah did. We got to move. Verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's what we're waiting on, buddy. Is that not right? Hey, I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting for the kingdom. I'm not waiting for the tribulation. The world's not going to get better and better, and the kingdom get ushered in. You say, Joe, people don't believe that. You're not talking to them. When somebody says, well, I'm of this faith, do you talk with them? You don't have to argue with them. Ask them a few questions. It's just like I was telling you several times in this. People who believe in all these things that you attach to salvation, ask them this. Are you saved? Well, I hope I am. Well, were you ever saved? Well, yes. Well, how do you get saved? Believe, repent, and be baptized. Well, you ask the man, well, have you believed? Oh, yes. Have you repented? Oh, yes. Well, have you been baptized? Oh, yes. Well, are you going to heaven? Well, I don't know. If that's how you go, and you've done it, then you ought to know. But when you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you, you don't have the conscience cleared. Hebrews. That's true, folks. You can lead an old boy out your... I'm a mountain boy. And it shows. But you can lead a lot of old mountain boys out there that ain't even got a third or fourth grade education. But they'll tell you right quick, man, they're going to heaven when they die. And they know it. They have the witness in themselves. And they have a clear conscience on it that God has taken their sins away. A man that's going to put baptism in there with is never going to have a clear conscience. Because he's going to think, if he did I do it right? Did I do it right? Did I do it right? Baptism is a good thing. Baptism is an ordinance. And the Lord's Supper is an ordinance. And Paul said, you do the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. But it's not for salvation. It's not the power of God. Verse 8, and then we'll leave on this one. Who shall also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people would disagree with me here. I know I'm saved and I'm secure, but I'm not going to be blameless till after the judgment seat of Christ. You see how Paul says something? In the day of the Lord. You know Jesus is going to prepare me to meet God? Is that... Why did he say it's a judgment seat, folks? We'll look at it as we go through there. I've read this book. That's why when people talk to me in the Old Testament, most of the time I'm looking at them like a calf looking at the new gate. Because I can't get away from my letters. It's written to me. So that I understand them. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be blameless. Not sinless. Blameless. Why? How can we be that way? Because we're in Christ. But he's going to tell us over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in Romans, and we'll look at that as we get to it. There's a judgment seat of Christ coming, and we're going to give an account of the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. What's good? What's good? What's bad? Sin. We say, yes, every one of our sins are forgiven. But he'll also tell us in First Corinthians, and we'll see that, why he's going to do it. That he may present us to the Father in him. Now, I want you to watch this. We'll talk about this more next week. Who shall also confirm. What did I say confirm? To establish or make absolutely sure. If I confirm something, you would have some questions about it. Right? And I'm going to say, well, I'm going to have Jim get up here and confirm what I just said. And he comes up here with the evidence and he confirms it. And makes it absolutely sure. That's what we're looking at. Also, who shall also confirm you unto the end? He's going to take me all the way, not part of the way, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. That's what it says in the next verse. Buddy, if you're thinking by any means that you're going to walk it all the way and you're going to make it, and you're going to do what's right, and that you're faithful, you got a problem. It's Christ who's going to confirm you until the end. Why? God is faithful. This week, read Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read. Nobody's standing at the door. I'm going to read just a little bit of Romans chapter 3. And you'll get the hint of what I'm talking about. It's God that's faithful, folks. That's what he's saying. How are you going to be confirmed unto the end? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's faithful? God. I'm not faithful. God's faithful. And if there's anything in me that is faithful, it's him, not me. Right? Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, you watch, are you watching? Are you listening? Are you watching these scriptures? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Read it again. I read these things, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I have to read these things so many times. I'm so slow. And I have a problem of keeping my thought on what I'm reading instead of thinking about something and reading something. You have that problem? Can you clear your mind good when you read? I can't a lot of times, so I just read over and over. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. My righteousness is not by my faith. It's by His. It's by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. There's no difference in any of them that believe. If a man's saved, he's saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Romans. If a man is kept, he's kept by grace through faith plus nothing. Galatians. If a man is saved by grace through faith, and kept by grace through faith, he's baptized by one Spirit into one body, Ephesians. Colossians. See how you can go right on? If this man who's saved by grace through faith plus nothing and kept by grace through faith plus nothing and baptized into one body, which is Ephesians, then Christ is the head of that body, Colossians. And the application of how to live it, 1 Corinthians. The prison epistles, a lot of those.
Don't open it, the preacher's going to explain.
This Bible is a complete book, isn't it? We'll look at the rest of chapter 1 next week and head on into chapter 2. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'll bless them the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray.